see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Wait till you see what you're going to, wait till you hear what you're going to hear. I'm telling you, things are starting to really make sense now. We're in the book, The Red Network, by Elizabeth Dilling. And we're on page 29. It's really 28, but we're just about on 29. So, but listen to this. As I'm listening to the intro play for the show, I'm just reading a couple of paragraphs here. And it has everything to do with what I'm about to tell you. I discovered something last night that I don't know if you've, any of you've heard of this. I never have anywhere else. But I was reading over a couple of headlines and it just dawned on me. And it wasn't said in the headlines. It's just maybe the combination of words or something. It dawns on me why they wanted us to all lose our jobs and to have no money. You see, some people do have money saved. Most Americans don't. But some people have money saved, and they want the people to spend that money. They want to remove it from their possession. You understand what I'm saying? So it dawns on me that part of this is the step towards the cashless society, where they get the people to spend their money by any means they possibly can. So I'm not saying that's the sole purpose. I'm saying that it's always multi-purposed. And think about what I'm saying. When I read you something coming up soon, I think you're going to be amazed. See, people don't have money right now, so whatever they've been able to save up for emergencies, they're obviously going to have to use it for this emergency, right? And then they won't have any cash, will they? You understand what I'm saying now? So it says, the theory of the communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. And the abolition of this state of things is called by the bourgeois abolition of individuality and freedom. And rightly so. The abolition of bourgeois individuality, independence, and freedom is undoubtedly aimed at. Now, here's a key thing saying here right now. By freedom is meant, under the present bourgeois conditions of production, free trade, free selling, and buying. Get it? By freedom is meant, Edom is in freedom, remember? Funny how, you know, the bourgeois, of course, is the middle class. Middle and upper middle class, you know, people that have money, that have property, that have businesses. See, it says buy, sell, and it doesn't say hold a job, but that's, you wouldn't be buying or selling if you didn't have a source of money, right? So in other words, buying, selling, and holding a job, so to speak, or holding, you in the book of Revelation, you know about that if you did not have the mark of the beast, you would not be able to buy, sell, or hold a job, so to speak. Funny how the Apostle John knew all those years ago about communism. He didn't know it, but you see, the Father knew about communism, obviously. How would that be written there? That if you did not have the mark of the beast, you would not be able to buy or sell, or a so-called hold a job. See, that's what it's saying right here. By freedom is meant, under the present bourgeois conditions of production, free trade, free selling, and buying. Tell me that doesn't blow your mind. So in other words, they want to take away those rights, these communists. And this is back in 36. And they're still doing it today, aren't they? Aren't they doing it right now? See, they want to take our property away. What I notice also in this whole scenario is they're doing everything they can to load up the national debt more and more, in which, you know, eventually they'll say, well, you know, America, we got your gold, we got this, we got the oil rights, we got this, we got, now all that's left is your property. Will these idiots, these useful idiots that help these Jews, they don't, it's obviously, you know, it's obvious that they don't understand what took place in the Bolshevik Revolution. You see, the people that helped them get into power were the first people killed. The useful idiots that grabbed on and latched on to the idealistic or idealism of communism, they helped these Jews get into power. See, but they didn't understand that when you help the Jews get into power, see, the problem is they thought that they were going to be in power with the Jew and stay in power. They don't understand. And they died because they didn't understand. My people perish for the lack of knowledge, saith the Father in heaven. So they helped them get in, and they were the first ones to be killed by the truckloads. These politicians today that are think that, well, you know, I've got millions in my account now because these Jews have helped me get all these millions. What do you think's going to happen if they perform a Bolshevik revolution here, which they're trying to do right now? What will happen to those politicians and their bank account? You know they won't. The Jew owns the banks. They'll just take that money back. Right? Like they stole the Tsar's money. They owe Russia billions and billions of dollars plus interest for all these years now, over 100 years. They've stolen that. What do you think, politician?
Polly.
Polly want a cracker? Polly want a million? Polly got a bank account? Polly sell his soul. Polly die first. Yeah. So when you sell out your family and you sell out your nation and you sell out your friends and you sell out yourself and to these Jews, do you think you'll be in power when the Bolshevik Revolution takes place in America, if it ever does? Do you think that you will actually remain in power with these Jews, you poor, pathetic morons? See, I don't look up to politicians. I look at them as scum of the earth. I look at them as people that don't know how blind they really are. They're some of the most blind people on the planet. You will be killed first. You say, nah, that could... You better go study what happens when the... What happened in the Katyn Forest? Oh, that wasn't the Nazis. Oh, that's right. It wasn't the Germans. Right. It was the Russians who were driven by the Jews to do these things. And they killed all the intellectuals, the scientists, the high-minded people, the muckety-muck, the elite, etc., etc., because those are the people that could compete with them mentally and some of them spiritually. Remember what it said last week in this about that that's why there's no room for God in communism? No room for the Father in heaven in communism, because if people had faith, they could actually counteract what these Jews are trying to do. Because they know that prayer has power, and they know that the Holy Spirit has power. So, you see what it says? Again, just to get this, and abolition of this state of things is called by the bourgeois, the middle class, abolition of individuality and freedom. See, when we're all one, we lose our individuality, correct? When we're one world, that means our nations lose their individualities and freedom, it says here too, right? Isn't that correct? Isn't that what happens? See, individuality, diversity destroys individuality. The most diverse race in this whole planetary game is the white race. The diversity they're talking about is not diversity at all. It's against the grain. It's the opposite of diversity. In other words, there will be no individuality. There will be no individual races. There will be no individual countries. There will be no individual currencies. There will be no individual thought. You see, this is what you're talking about. While these communist freedom fighters are so, you know, look like they're fighting for somebody's freedom, they're really fighting to enslave everybody. That's what the American military is doing. You see, while they tell us that there are heroes and people say to them, oh, thank you for serving your country, what they're really doing is putting people in slavery and the country in slavery. See, they're ensuring that there will be no individuality. They're ensuring that there will be no different currency. They're ensuring that democracy will be, you know, Ezra Pound said that that the definition of democracy in Europe is a country controlled by Jews. Now, I've been telling you about democracy for a long time. Hopefully, it's funny, the world is starting to reverberate those things. Finally, democracy is the Jews' form of the one world government, period. Democracy is a stepping stone to tyranny. The founding fathers knew that. They told us that. They warned us. So, let's continue with this, right? So, they say that it's the abolition of individuality and freedom. And rightly so. The abolition of bourgeois individuality, independence, and freedom is undoubtedly aimed at. See, nobody... They have written the Articles of Interdependence, in case you haven't heard that before. You know how we have the Articles of Independence, the Declaration of Independence? Well, they have a Declaration of Interdependence. See, I'm trying to explain to the people that what the world is doing is it's going against the grain. When Crowley said to live backwards, speak backwards, think backwards, I explained this many months ago, that means you're going against the grain. If the grain is clockwise, as is the Heavenly Father's way of things usually, right? They go against the grain. See, by going against the grain, you're slowing down the progress of the way the grain goes. And I'm not talking about grain in the land. I'm just talking about, like, you know how you have a steak? And if you cut it against the grain or with the grain, it has a different way of how tender the meat will be and how well it will cook. That's one example. You see, they're going against the grain. Rebellion is against the will of the Father. The will of the Father is the grain, let's say. And the heavenly establishment and the earthly establishment of Israel, our countries, all these people are going against the grain, against our countries. This theme will keep coming up, and I will show you something. I have an interview with Christopher Lee, and this will explain it to you. Just what I just said to you, he concurs with what I've said. You're going to be amazed when you see just how many people are trying to go against the grain. That's what Crowley said. Living backwards. Speak in reverse. Remember I told you about how the police would pull people over and they'd ask them to say the alphabet backwards? Now, you and I would not be practicing something like that and know how to do that automatically, but a Satanist would. Therefore, they'd be able to get off. You understand? It's like a little game, but you weren't told about it. If they do that now, I really don't know, but that is definitely something that was done. So let's continue. I mean, I don't know how much we'll get read here because I have to explain all these things. These things are incredible. What's being said here and the Father knows how to put this stuff together. I don't know how he does it. What I found out last night, that they want to take the cash away. Wait till you hear soon here. So by freedom is meant, under the present bourgeois conditions of production, free trade, free selling, and buying, selling, hold a job. That's what I was talking about with the Apostle John. In a word, you reproach us with intending to do away with your property. Precisely so. That is just what we intend. So the Jew intends to take away our property. You don't have to prove that. It's definitely, it has everything to do with Plato's Republic. Plato believed in no ownership of private property. Next, it says, abolition of the family. Now, just me saying abolition of the family, I can imagine how many dots you can connect in your head without me even telling you any dots. How many ways till Sunday are they trying to abolish the family? Why, they'd even want you to have social distancing with your family. But I told you social distancing started with a long time ago with the cell phone, the computer. Children used to congregate in the playground. Now they, even if they do congregate in the playground, they're looking into a computer device and not actually having eye contact in reality and things like that. Abolition of the family? On what foundation is the present family, the bourgeois family, based? It asks. Listen on what it's based on. On capital and on private gain. In other words, money is part of the family and family is part of the money. You know, whether it's a farm or not, you know, it doesn't have to be money in that sense, but we need money to live in Babylon, in this world that we're living in, correct? And money in itself is not evil, but the love of money is evil. In its completely developed form, this family exists only among the bourgeoisie, but this state of things finds its complement in the practical absence of the family among the proletarians and in public prostitution. The bourgeois family will vanish as a matter of course. And how will it vanish, ladies and gentlemen? It says, with the vanishing of capital. Are you connecting the dot that I just talked about? What's going on right now is they're trying to get our money, get us to spend our money or our savings, or if you have any. You know what I mean? Most Americans don't even have $1,200 in savings or anything like that, because they've kept us so close to the wall. They've kept everybody buying things, and that includes all of us. Because it seems like there's always something you need, and especially when you're living in a world of inferior products, these products keep breaking down deliberately so that you have to spend the money on them again. See, that's another reason they didn't like the German industry. And the American industry, because we made products that were superior, that would last for practically your lifetime. And in some cases, outlive you. So they've made it now so these things break all the time, so you have to keep spending your money and spending your money and spending your money. They don't want you to save any money. It used to cost around $600 a year to have medical benefits back in the early 1900s. Now you can see that just how far that's gone. It takes, you know, 10 grand, 7 grand or whatever, I don't know, for a family. I was paying over 7 grand when I had my business. You know, and that impoverished me because I didn't need the medical benefits, you see. And Governor Romney came into Massachusetts, and he was the first one to make this happen. And, of course, they start you out at $300, $350 a month, and then every year they go up $50 to $100. Pretty soon you're at $700 a month. You see, and so these are all the types of things they've done to steal our money. So what I was saying before was they're doing everything they can to bring that national debt up. We all know it's fake. We all know that there's no reality to it. But the way the Jews are getting away with everything, they'd probably get away with it because it seems like our polywannacrackerticians, they want to help these Jews every way they possibly can. They just are just diving into death. I mean, they just want to be destroyed. They want to see everything destroyed. And some of these are our people, traitors. I don't know how much of Congress is white anymore. I know that I don't think there's very many white people in Congress anymore. I know you say, oh, that's not true. But you look at the Nancy Pelosi's not white. Pence, I don't know what he is. Trump is not. He's a Jew. Biden's a Jew. I mean, it just goes on and on. You got a whole bunch of Italians in there, too. You know, you don't realize that really there's not that many white people in our Congress. If there were, we wouldn't be going through what we're going through. So they intend on taking our property and our ability to buy and sell, and they intend on the abolition of the family. They want to abolish anything that's good. See, they'd like to take control over how much money we have. They'd like to take control over how many children you would have, and they would like to be the ones to have the children, not you. I remember in the movie 1984, there was somebody, a scientist up, and he was saying, we're going to get rid of masturbation and we're going to, and this stuff. And they all stood up and they all started clapping. Like, you know, I'm not saying that masturbation is a positive thing, but it was the, you know, something that was just, it was odd. That's all I can tell you. In other words, they were going to take control over who could have a child or not. And the little pleasure that masturbation would bring or whatever, they would even take that away from the people too. And the people stood up and they clapped, and it was just an odd thing. Very odd. In other words, people in this thing were standing up for their own destruction. And that is exactly what's going on right now in our world. There was one scene where a daughter reported her father for her dad for wrongthink. And he was telling Winston, thank God that somebody reported me. And so that, you know, I mean, it's just the most bizarre. You have to see the English version with Richard Burton. You have to see it. 1984. It is absolutely stunning. So they said, on what foundation is the present family, the bourgeois family, based? On capital and on private gain. In its completely developed form, this family exists only among the bourgeoisie. Right? So the bourgeoisie family will vanish as a matter of course, they say, with the vanishing of capital. Now you see what I mean about capitalism? And it says, but you communists would introduce community of women, screams the whole bourgeoisie in chorus. Bourgeoisie marriage is in reality a system of wives in common, and thus, at the most, what the communists might possibly be reproached with is that they desire to introduce, in substitution for a hypocritically concealed and openly legalized community of women. Listen careful now. Communizing woman for free use was tried repeatedly in Russia, until the outcries against it temporarily halted this program, which for a time being is now largely limited to encouragement of free relations, legalized abortions, and state care for children. The private ownership, quote-unquote, of one man for one woman is called capitalism, quote-unquote, and is frowned upon. The teaching is, quote, break down the family unit to build national communism. Break down nationalism or patriotism to build international communism. Need I say anything to you about this? Are they not trying to break down all nationalism everywhere in the world, especially, of course, in our countries? The family unit has been broken down by the transsexual, the LGBT, the queers. All this stuff has destroyed families. The feminism movement has destroyed the family. The hippie summer of 69 freedom movement was a communist movement. People lived in communes. Community. Community. See? So you see that they're working on the patriots. They've got the ADL telling you that patriots and white people are the enemy of this country. And they're doing that in all the our other countries too. Right? And anybody that's a nationalist is a Nazi, correct? So let me read the family again. I mean, let me read this particular quote again. Break down the family unit to build national communism. Break down nationalism or patriotism to build international communism. Get it? To resume quoting from the manifesto, page 29, it says, listen to this. But communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. Instead of constituting them on a new basis, it therefore acts in contradiction to all past historical experience. What does this accusation reduce itself to? The communist revolution is the most radical rupture with traditional property relations. No wonder its development involves the most radical rupture with traditional ideas. Thus does Marx defend the destruction of all morality and all religion. Let me stop you right there now. If there's no morals left in the world, that means everyone is corrupt. What is the Jew? The Jew was born spiritually dead from the womb, remember? And it is his purpose to corrupt man, that's us, not the beast of the field, even though he does it to them too, and corrupt man utterly. You understand? That's what communism does, right? If it wants to destroy all morality and all religion, what is that telling you? It tells you they want to corrupt everybody. That's what it's telling you. And what I said, listen, remember I said about going against the grain? Think about that, and let me read this to you again. And that is exactly what this is. Listen very carefully. But communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality, instead of constituting them on a new basis. Listen, here's the key. It therefore acts in contradiction against the grain to all past historical experience. But ladies and gentlemen, does communism really abolish all eternal truths? No. It just tries to silence them and tries to keep them quiet. Lenin and all them Jews, all those Jews over there, they made sure you couldn't speak your mind too. And they also turned the churches into Masonic lodges, whorehouses, and everything else they could turn them into. Can you imagine a world with no truth and no morality? Would that not be anarchy? Would that not be hell? See, what communism is trying to do is bring hell on earth. And for the Tsar and his family and all those people over there, those Christians, it was hell on earth. They want to bring hell on earth here to America, too. It's already very hellish as it is. These people need some pogroms. Seriously, they do. I've asked the Father to cull them. There's too many of them right now. Just, you know, I believe the Negroes are the seed line of Cain as well. You've got the Italians, you got the Mestizos, you've got the people that mixed. They're all mixed in Pakistan, they're all mixed in the Middle East. You know, Ishmael has disappeared as well, right? For the most part. They mixed out the people in Russia, Eastern Europe, and they're working on Germany heavy right now and have been for a very long time. It's time for the beasts of the field to be culled. As far as my belief, and I asked the Father to do it. But of course, nevertheless, his will be done. Since we don't believe, see, it wouldn't take the whole world of Christians, real Christians, to believe. It would just take a percentage of us. Because the Father saved Sodom and, you know, he didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until he got Lot out of there and his wife, right? So it doesn't take too many people to make things happen in the kingdom of Yahweh. So it's up to you and I, and it starts with you and I. And let's see that we keep that in mind always. So it continues. In short, the communists everywhere support every revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of things. The communists disdain to conceal their views and aims. They openly declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. Let me stop right there. Social conditions like Facebook. Social conditions. Social conditions like we don't want queers in our nation. We don't want queers in our world. But they want to change those social conditions. They want us to love queers and think that we're all God's children. That's one of the biggest fables of the Jews, one of the biggest lies you can ever come out with, because the Jews are not God's chosen. I mean, they're not his children at all. And the hybrids are not planted by the Father either, right? Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father shall be plucked up. The Jews were not planted by the Father. And neither were the beasts of the field when they're mixed. We've got a world full of hybrids right now, people that have not been planted by the Father. That's the big problem that's going on. Because they're all corrupt, physically, mentally, spiritually, and they're in chaos. And if the world is in chaos, it causes all the world to be in chaos, you see? So, continuing. You see how they say they openly declare that their ends can only be attained by forcible overthrow. Violence, that is, right? But they tell us we shouldn't ascribe to violence, right? Because they know that's the only way that they could be overthrown is through violence. And social distancing would certainly make sure that we could never plan on anything together, right? Isn't that another reason for social distancing? I mean, human touch is important. Having a hug from a family member or a loved one is an extremely important thing. Human touch is important to us. It's important to your well-being. People that love live longer. You think about that for a while. So it says, let the ruling classes tremble at a communist revolution. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Working men of all countries unite. You see, it's another false promise. They think that if they help, they're telling the lower classes, people like myself, they're telling us that if we help them to get communism into our country, that we will lose our chains. We won't be slaves anymore. You believe that, don't you? I mean, sure you do. And working men of all countries should unite. Oh, sure. Everything's uniting with these people while they're dividing everybody. Isn't it funny? Just like the devil says, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And, you know, he wants to enslave us, and his children want to enslave us, but he's saying that you can do what you will. And that'll be the whole of the law. In other words, anarchy again. No morals, right? Isn't that what communism is? No morals, no religion, no anything. Let me go back up there again, right? Isn't that amazing? No eternal truths. You don't need truths. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do it your way. That's what the devil's saying. Do your own thing, man. See? And that's what it is. Doing your own thing means you don't ascribe to any religions. You're not interested in any eternal truths, right? Isn't that the way it is? And who has to have morality? If you're doing your own thing, there are no morals. You just do what you want to do. Isn't that what the devil says? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of all. Isn't that the same as communism? Yes, it is. So, it continues. This last sentence is a slogan of the Socialist Party and is used on their literature with a picture of two hands clasped around the world. A socialist leaflet advertising supplies secured at Chicago headquarters lists, listen, red flag buttons or pins, large and small, 15 cents each. Notice how Chicago, it just seems to be the den of communism, the den of Jewry, the den of the Italian mafia, the den of eating pig. You know, these Chicago pizzas and everything, they all have pig in them. And it's all, it's tradition, man. Jews love tradition. And if it's tradition to eat pig for the people of Yahweh to eat pig, when Yahweh says don't do that, the Jews are all for it. And they say, don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about any of that. Do what you will. That should be the whole of the law. See, that's the irony. They're telling these proletariat, which are the lower class, right? They're telling them, if you unite with us and help us to get into power, see, they don't have to worry about killing the lower class, right? Because they're already being killed by poverty. And they really can't compete with them. You know what I mean? Could I compete with a Jew financially? No way. I couldn't even compete with a paper boy at this point. So listen to how crazy that really is, that Chicago just seems to be full of communism, and it has been that way for a long time. I remember the Zeppelin song, When the Levee Breaks. He said, if you don't know about Chicago, crying won't do you no good. Women and socialism. The socialist authority, August Bebel, in Women and Socialism, quote-unquote, page 466 and 467, says, listen to this now. Now, this is 1936. See if this fits today. As if I didn't know. Quote, in the new society, women will be entirely independent, both socially and economically. Does that fit today? In the new society, with the new deal from the devil and his children, because they don't like the father's law and the father's society or any of these things, you see? In the new society, I'll read it again. In the new society, women will be entirely independent, both socially and economically. In the choice of love, she is as free, as unhampered as man. She woos or is wooed and enters into a union prompted by no other consideration than her own feelings. All the things I've been teaching, all the things I've been saying for a long time. See, this is what makes woman weaker than man, is she can be run by her own feelings. You know, she can be driven easily. Now, men can be driven too by their feelings if they become too attuned with them, and that's what they're working on right now, right? As you well know. But woman is susceptible, just like the beast of the field, are very susceptible to their feelings, right? I mean, you could just look at somebody, one of these beasts of the field, and they could actually just kill you because their feelings might have been hurt. The Jews have a lot of feelings, as you see. This is one thing the niggers and our women have in common, is their feelings. But the problem is, and it just keeps happening, these unions are unholy and they're wrong, and it just keeps happening that the gorilla just kills the woman and the offspring. There's a story that I just saw where this groid, he killed his white wife or whatever she was, and the offspring he took and threw it over a wall, you know, down, it got killed off a balcony or something like that. And this is the father's judgment. And I'm not sad for the woman at all. She got what she deserved because of that. So you see that a woman will just enter into a union prompted by no other consideration than her own feelings. That's all that's important, is what she feels. See? The union is a private agreement without interference or functionary. No one is accountable to anybody else, and no third person has a right to interfere. What I eat and drink, how I sleep and dress is my own private affair, and my private affair is also my intercourse with the person of the opposite sex. Friedrich Engels, Origin of the Family, quote-unquote, page 91 and 92, says, with the transformation of the means of production into collective property and monogamous family ceases to be the unit of society, the private household changes to a social industry. I hope you're connecting the dots. The care and education of children becomes a public matter. Society cares equally well for all the children, legal or illegal. Hello? This assumes the care about the consequence, which now forms the essential social factor hindering the girl to surrender unconditionally to the beloved man. Helen R. Marx, daughter of Karl Marx, quoted Chicago Tribune, November 14, 1886, said, listen to this, love is the only recognized marriage in socialism. Consequently, no bonds of any kind would be recognized. Divorce would be impossible, as there would be nothing to divorce. When love ceases, separation would naturally ensue. Ladies and gentlemen, can you believe what you are hearing right here, right now? Isn't this how we've all lived? Isn't this how it's going on today? Eleanor Marx, let me read that again for you. Love is the only recognized marriage in socialism. Consequently, no bonds of any kind would be recognized. In other words, you wouldn't need a marriage license. This is one of the few times that they wouldn't want you to have a license. Divorce would be impossible, as there would be nothing to divorce. For when love ceases, separation would naturally ensue. Eleanor Marx, another daughter, never married her husband, quote-unquote, Dr. Aveling. A consistent socialist woman would neither marry nor bear her husband's name. Hello! Note the leading red women who do not bear their husband's name. Christian socialism, Christian as in quotations. In other words, alleged Christian socialism. The American Association for Advancement of Atheism, which cooperates in its own World Union of Atheists with Moscow's International of the Godless and other communist groups, in its official reports proudly relates how the socialist Debs Memorial Radio Station staunchly aided it in regularly broadcasting the 4A atheist propaganda. It states that it had but two real foes, fundamentalist Christianity and Roman Catholicism, and adds that it welcomes the aid of modernists in paving the way for atheism, and one might add communism. Jeeringly, it asserts that the reason fundamentalists do not dare openly to expose heresy within the Protestant churches is because they are afraid of a split, and that the churches are thus held together by real estate, quote-unquote. Yeah, not by Yahweh, by real estate. To this one might reply that Christ's faith was started without any real estate in the first place, and it can flourish and acquire real estate any time that it burns with living power. Modernist Protestant churches unite under the influence of the Radical Federal Council of Churches, penetrated with communistic propaganda, unsure of allegiance to Christian doctrines, are weak and divided foes, when not actual allies, of the advancing menace of Bolshevism and atheism now assailing America from the schools and universities, the press, the pulpit, the lecture platform, and radical politicians. Three facts stand out. Are you ready for this? Wow, I am blown away. This is quite the show here. The first fact, Marxism is atheism. Both socialism and communism are Marxism. The only difference being that socialism covers over its atheism with the garment of Christianity when camouflage is expedient, while communism does not. Two, cooperation with Marxism is cooperation with atheism. Christ has warned us against trying to serve two masters, saying, "He who is not with me is against me." Also, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The ABC of communism has truly stated that it's impossible for a man to both believe in God and to serve the Marxian cause. Even though a Christian may believe that he is no less a Christian, or that he in fact is even a more practical Christian through accepting Marxism with a mental reservation concerning its immorality and atheism, still the fact remains that he is aiding those who have no such mental reservation, but whose fixed, immediate, and ultimate purpose is the destruction of Christianity and its moral principles everywhere. You see, this is what's going on. Our people know how to turn a blind eye to things and pretend like, well, yeah, everybody thinks like I do. Everybody, you know, believes the same way I do. I mean, you know, and, you know, we can serve two masters. I mean, you know what I mean? I can control both of these things. I won't love one and hate the other, even though Jesus said I would. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. You know, our people are just incredible. I don't know what's going on, but I've been asking for the Father to deliver them, to deliver all of Israel from this, even though yet I know all of Israel will not be saved. So, the intermediary stage of true socialism, which is called Christian socialism, is a smeary mess of conflicting Marxism and religious sentimentality, which is referred to facetiously by real communists and socialists as the kindergarten of red radicalism, quote unquote. Socialists agree that a consistent socialist must lose his Christian faith. The pity is that so many who have lost it continue to usurp pulpits. Number three, Christian socialists do not cooperate actively with atheist communists. This whole book is an illustration of that fact. One may search in vain for the prominent Christian socialist who is not working with and for atheist communists. As one becomes familiar with the names in the various red organizations, the truth becomes apparent that Christian, quote-unquote, socialism and communism are branches of the same movement. Their members mingle on the same committees. They are arrested in the same strikes and riots. They share funds from the same sources. They unite in defending Satan's base, godless Soviet Russia. My most vigorous opponents are Christian, quote-unquote, socialists, even though they are only sympathizers with the Red Movement. My first experience was with the rector of the Episcopal Church, which I formerly attended. In spite of this, I believe him to be a sincere, though misguided, believer in Christ. I was lecturing about Russia, and I told him about the Soviet government's dreadful, blasphemous, anti-Christian displays I had seen there, of their open boast that they would accomplish from within the same thing in America, and offered to come and show my Russian pictures to the Women's Guild. Gratis. Of course, I expected his sympathetic indignation with and cooperation. Instead, to my surprise and bewilderment, he started talking about Christian socialism and about it being quite different from communism. He stated that he had once belonged to a small socialist group at Oxford, just for the benefit of the social order, quote-unquote. Later, he asked if an anti-communist lecturer who was to speak in the vicinity was one of those terrible American Legion men, and asked if I did not agree with him that Norman Thomas, his socialist campaign platform was pretty good, quote-unquote. His instantaneous, almost automatic efforts to shield godless communism and his refusal to allow me to warn of its atheistic Christ-crucifying plans came as a shock to me at the time, but I soon found it to be but a mild manifestation of Christian socialism. Try, I say, attacking Soviet Russia's godlessness and see where your Christian socialist will stand. He will screen Sovietism and attack you. As we observe how Christian socialist Reinhold Niebuhr advocates Marxian revolution and how he occupies the platform with atheist Communist Party officials controlled by godless Moscow, as I have observed the constant procession of the communist notices tacked on quote-unquote Christian socialist Tittles Evanston M.E. Church bulletin board, and read his printed sermons praising communist revolutionaries as one of ones God spoke through, quote-unquote. Yeah, sure. As one observes what zeal Harry Ward Bishop McConnell and other Christian quote-unquote socialists serve the ACLU legal defense of atheists and communist criminals, and how pleasantly McConnell serves the socialist campaign while Winifred Chapel serves the communist campaign and signs a manifesto subscribing to communist principles. And all of these unite in the Methodist Federation for Social Service, headed by McConnell in getting out the bulletin edited by Ward and Winifred Chapel. After 1,000 or more observations like these, the airy soap bubble castle built upon arguments that quote-unquote Christian socialism has nothing to do with and is quite different from communism vanishes into thin air. The Catholic Church strangely seems unaware that it has a few red aiders in its midst, but in spite of these, no such headway has been made by radicals with Catholics as has been made with Protestants. Gerald B. Donnelly, S.J., wrote in America, quote-unquote, a Catholic publication, 1932, a statement which should be framed and put on every church door in this land. He held that a vote for Norman Thomas for president would be in direct violation of the Catholic doctrine, and said, "No Catholic can accept the Marxian philosophy or the denial of the right of property. Socialism cannot Christianize itself merely by soft peddling or even by dropping entirely its dogmas on class warfare and property rights. Rome's ban against socialism is not withdrawn. The Socialist Party proposes recognition of the Soviet Union. Now the Soviets are publicly and explicitly hostile to God. To vote for their recognition, or, what is tantamount, to vote for a party which advocates their recognition is once more formal cooperation with evil, and obviously something no Catholic can do." We wish. Yes, we're on page 32 here, and we're going to have to end there. We're a little over time right now, which isn't the end of the world. So, you can see that not only has Freemasonry penetrated the church, but communism through the Federal Council of Churches, the Rockefellers, you see, and the And by the way, while I mentioned that, just because David Rockefeller is dead doesn't mean that they're not still pulling the strings that they were pulling before. I usually give a good piece of advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
They bring disgrace, a man without a face. The sands of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. Lines that they turned erased.